here, Pastor. Thank you for this privilege to be able to come here and even bring this ministry into your presence, because when you're making phone calls to pastors across the states, they don't necessarily know you from anybody else. And sometimes pastors will grill me over the phone and make sure I totally line up with them. And boy, for you to line up with anybody totally perfectly, that's very difficult. So I really appreciate Pastor Springer for being able to he checked me out and gave the go ahead, and I was sure thankful, and he was gracious in the process of it. So I'm very thankful for that. My name is John Glenn. I'm not the world famous astronaut. I'm sorry, you guys got the John Glenn the missionary tonight, not the astronaut. But I don't have my family with me. I apologize for that. When you're dragging them around the country, it gets pretty hard on them. And the church that we are with down in Grand Junction, Colorado, put us in their mission house, and they've been very gracious to us. They've paid for my children's schooling this year. They've put us in that mission house rent-free, no utilities. They've just been a tremendous blessing. So when they needed help for a school teacher, there was no way I was going to say, sorry, we got to go, you know. And it was an opportunity to give my kids a break. So I went ahead and let them stay. And I'm very sorry that they couldn't be here. I do have a very big picture of them there in the breezeway there, though. My wife's name is Nicole Glenn. My oldest son is Josiah Glenn. And my second son, or Josiah's 11. My second son, Seth, is 8 years old. Now he just turned 8 yesterday. And I have my only daughter, Shiloh. She's just started kindergarten this year, so trying to get her to learn to read before we really push her back out on the road hard again. And then I have my son, Ty. And we just sort of got lazy towards the end there. It's just Ty, T-Y. No Titus, not Tyler. I don't know what happened to us. But I said, I like Joseph. I knew a Joseph, or I knew a Daniel. And you just couldn't come to terms. And so we named him Ty. But I've been truly blessed. I certainly would not have the family that I have. I would not be here standing behind a pulpit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ were it not for another Marine courageous enough to give me the gospel. And that's what changed my life forever. I said I would never join the military, and I joined the United States Marine Corps. I said I would never marry a redhead. And if you look at the picture out there, I married a redhead. And I remember training in Hawaii on the back, going out into the woods and things like that. And we were on the back of a 5-ton truck getting ready to be dropped off on a training range. And I remember saying, wow, Lord, and this is after I'm saved, I said, this is a nice place to visit, Lord, but I don't ever want to live here. And I ended up living there for about 11 years worth of my life. And then I would see missionaries, and I would see them come and visit churches, and I would say, I never want to be a missionary. Not because I didn't want to spread the gospel, but that thing called deputation just terrified me. I just didn't want anything to do with it. And well, now here I am on deputation. And so I'll never win $10 million, but just in case, I'm going to throw it out there. But I don't know if you have any questions before I get into God's Word tonight. Would there be any questions you might have concerning ministry to the United States military? We'll be in Vicenza, Italy. I'll be working in the beginning with a former Navy SEAL. He gave his life to Christ, and he's over there reaching the men and their families of the 173rd Airborne and the headquarters of AFRICOM. And if you've heard anything in the news, they sent about 200 troops into the Ukraine to cross train. Those were from the 173rd Airborne. They're sending 3,000 down into Africa to help try to contain this Ebola virus and such. Most of those are coming out of Vicenza and bases there in Italy, part of AFRICOM, which has oversight of situations that spring up in Europe and Africa. So they've definitely are a busy unit. People think that military get to go and enjoy some of these places that they go to. Well, they certainly get to enjoy some things, but they're very busy. The United States military is they're on top of the food chain for a reason, because they train our men very well. And I served in the Marine Corps, but I would say that I have great respect for all of our United States military forces. They're all trained well, and I've served with other forces from foreign nations and have seen the lack of discipline and the poor training, and I know why. I know why our troops are so good. They're trained very well. We have a powerful United States military. There's a reason that other countries haven't pulled their ships outside of our shores to storm our country, because they know that they'll face off with our United States military and its might and strength in the people. However, saying that, we also know that as Christians, we know who's truly behind it. We have a God-fearing nation that's certainly being eroded, and it's happening in our United States military. So just something that God has laid on my heart and my family's heart to minister to our troops. And that's basically what we did in Hawaii 5 years before we started deputation. I was the singles pastor, the maintenance man of that church. And basically, we opened up our home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for our U.S. military troops and for other singles out in the community to be there for them. And it was a ministry that reached out to me as a young Marine, and I never dreamed that I would be a guy going back to minister in that same capacity. But that's where God had us for the last 5 years, and the Lord used us to reach and strengthen. And there's a lot of Christians out there that have been reached in America, go across seas, and don't live for the Lord, and eventually they're reached because of those churches over there that are trying to reach them, and they get on fire for God again. And so God uses us not only to reach souls, but to grab a hold of those that are over there trying to run from the Lord. But sadly, many of those we also do not get. So that's our mission as we head over to Italy. And I just pray that you would take my prayer card out there and keep us in prayer. The power of prayer is so underestimated in our world today, but that's what keeps missionaries on the field. That's what preserves people from day to day, as people on their knees somewhere. And so please keep us in prayer. If there's nothing else, brethren, I'm going to go ahead and get into God's Word. All right. Well, if you would, we have about, Pastor said, seven-ish. And I'm really struggling as to whether I can finish this one here. I'm thinking if you would please turn to John chapter 15 and verse 13. And I don't believe I'm going to share anything profound that you have not heard in the Scriptures. Certainly, Pastor has taught you the Word of God, and there's no way that I think I could add anything to the depth and the experience that God has given you. But I do believe I could share a challenge with you from John chapter 15 and verse 13. And you'll see this on my prayer card. It is a life verse. So many times we think of our United States military, and these are people that say that I'm willing to give my life for this country. And then they go over there, and sometimes their number is called. Sometimes their unit is called up to go, and then they make that ultimate sacrifice, some of them. But John 15:13, we understand, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And we certainly see that with our United States military, the sacrifices that they've made. I don't know about you, but I always try to check and see what's going on with our troops overseas, because I'm concerned about it. I have friends that are still there. Some of you have family, perhaps, and it's just a burden on my heart. But they're giving a great sacrifice. And if I could just give you a physical illustration of something that took place in Afghanistan back in 2007, there was a man, his name was Corporal Dakota Meyer at the time. And while he was over there, he was put on a position of security, overwatch, and there was a platoon that was going to be going in to reach the local tribesmen there and to just get good rapport, so that hopefully with good rapport that these tribesmen would start relaying information to them. It was the hearts and minds idea. Grab a hold of their hearts and minds, try to get loyalty with them. They'll start revealing secrets and locations of the Taliban. And so there was a unit, about four Marines, a couple soldiers, I believe, and then the rest of the unit that was made up of the Afghani national troops, our Afghani allies. They were going in on a pre-dawn meeting. So they're headed down there, and you may have seen some of this in the news. It was a pretty big deal at the time. But they're heading into this village to meet with these tribal elders. And when they it hit this village, all of a sudden, they're ambushed on every side by the Taliban. And from what the report says, from three different locations, they begin to rain in fire, RPG rockets, grenades, upon this American and Afghani unit. And these men begin to start taking casualties. And they're trapped. There's not much they can do. And they've got some numbers say 150 to 200 Taliban coming down upon their position. And so they're trying to call for support. We need help. We need backup. And there's this one Humvee, this truck, sitting up on the hill. He's listening to this over the radio. He's sitting up on top with that 50 cal. And the 50 cal is a massive, it's a massive gun. Shoots a bullet that is just enormous. You wouldn't even want to see a human being after that thing hits him. But nevertheless, he's sitting up there and he's hearing this over the radio. And here are these men down there, our people, dying, being shot, being killed. And he's hearing this. And you would think that he would say, man, somebody hurry up and get fire support in here. Bring those choppers. Where are those helicopters at? Why aren't they here already? But he doesn't. He says, he gives his location and says, can I go in? Two guys? There's 150 some enemies sitting on this hill shooting at these people. Two guys sitting in a truck. And he says, can I go? Nobody's answering. He keeps asking. Finally, he just hits the side of the truck and tells the guy, let's go. They take off down that hill and they hit that ambush site. And he's literally firing at all of these enemy all around him. And what is amazing to me is he gets in there and these guys are already taking casualties. Here he is sitting on the top of a truck. There is no greater place to be able to find a target than somebody sitting up that high as a silhouette to be shot. That's one of the easiest places to go ahead and take out the enemy or the opposition. So he's on this truck shooting and he's not getting hit. Rounds are going everywhere. One of the reporters asked him, so were you, what were you thinking? Did you realize that you were about to die? He said, I didn't wonder when I was, or if I was going to die. It was when I was going to die. And he pretty much thought, I can't, there's no way I can survive this. But he's down there and he's shooting. When he runs out of rounds, he gets down to that position. He jumps off of that truck and he starts to grab. You would say, go in and find the Americans, right? Well, he gets in there and he does something very amazing. He starts grabbing the Afghan allies as well. And I couldn't help but think about that passage in Scripture, Romans chapter 5 and in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. And yet here is this American, and he's throwing Afghani guys on the truck to get him out of there. If you remember anything from the news reports, you remember that these guys would turn on our own people inside the bases and shoot our own men. And you would think, oh, I'm not going to worry about these guys. I'm going to focus on the Americans. But he doesn't. He gets them as many as he can. He gets them on that truck, and he gets them out of there. And you would think that perhaps, if you've ever gone through a traumatic situation and you get out of that situation, you never want to get back into it. As a matter of fact, you'll take whatever procedures, steps you need to take to make sure you don't get into another situation where you're compromised like that. And that's not just military situations, combat. That's here in this life also, dangerous things. Well, nevertheless, he gets up to the top of the hill. And you would think that he might take a moment to say, you know what? I barely made it out of there alive. I'm going to wait for the choppers to come. I'm going to wait for the air, for the jets to come over, and I hope those guys make it. You would have thought he might have said, you know, I'm going to let this one pass. Somebody will surely come soon. I want to go back home to my family. I want to be able to sit with my family again at the table and drink coffee and go out hunting with my father. And you could imagine all the different thoughts that might be going through that man's head. But he gets those men off that truck and he goes back again. And he gets more of the wounded, puts them on the truck, and takes them back again. He did this 5-6 times. And eventually he found the Americans. They were all dead. But he got them. Put them on the truck. And got them out of there. You know what? He was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions. And rightfully so. To do what he did, he deserves a Medal of Honor. And you think about the choppers finally got there. And when they looked on the ground and saw this man running all over the battlefield, they radioed back and said, we don't even have words to describe what we're seeing right now. So it was an amazing thing that he did. And he was awarded the Medal of Honor. And he was ready to give his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, that's the physical aspect, and we understand that. But, brethren, I'd like to point you to a spiritual aspect. And I use the man that came to me. When I joined the United States military, I was a very religious man. And I really wanted to know the truth. I was going from church to church every Sunday. I met up with a couple of Pentecostal guys, charismatic fellows. I had been brought up in that by my grandparents, not my parents, but my grandparents. And so we were going to all these different churches every Sunday. And I knew God was there. I had no doubt in my mind that God existed. And I knew that I wanted to know Him. But the church I was brought up in said that you could fall from grace, said that God loves you, He'd save you, but you can fall out of that relationship. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense. I can't do this. And I would, day in and day out, I knew my thoughts. I knew my actions. And I would go to my rack every night. And I would say, God, I'm not going to make it. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm doing. And I would plead with Him. I want to know You, Lord. But how could You save somebody like me? And I went through this for quite some time in the Marine Corps. But finally, there was this Marine that was sent to our unit. He was serving over in Pearl Harbor as a Security Force Marine. And while he was over there, he finished out his 3 years. He got saved while he was there. And he got sent to my unit across the island. And I'll never forget the day he showed up at the unit. I was a young PFC nobody. And I remember standing in formation. And as I was standing at attention, he was in my squad of all things. And I remember thinking, oh, great, another corporal to boss me around. Because every corporal just seemed to see me coming. And my uncle in the Army said, don't volunteer for anything. And I'm like, that doesn't work. They catch me for everything. They're getting me for this and that. I was on every working party. I mean, it just wasn't working. And so when I saw him down there, I thought, oh, great. But then one day, as he's training us as his Marines now, our squad leader, we were in a barracks room. And that Marine told all the other Marines to head back to their barracks, get ready for the commanding general to come. And we weren't out in the field training. We were just doing things back in what we call the rear, back in with all the gear, so to speak. And I was about to step out the door. I was the last Marine in line about to step out of that barracks room. And he called over to me. He said, Glenn, can I talk to you for a moment? And, of course, I'm a PFC. He's a corporal. I said, no thanks, corporal. I got things to do, right? Yeah, no way. I said, I, corporal. And I walked right back over to him. And I posted and to attention, and he said, at ease. And then he let me relax, and he said, Glenn, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Now, mind you, he's in uniform. That's something that you can get in trouble with now in our United States military. It's unbelievable. But he's in uniform, and he's sharing the Word of God with me. And I looked at him, and I said, I hope so, Corporal. And when I said, I hope so, he knew exactly where I stood. He knew that I was trying to be the best that I could be. I was hoping that God would save me. I was hoping my good would outweigh my bad, and that God would look at me and know that I really wanted to be in heaven and that He would accept me. I was hoping. I hoped He would. But in my heart, I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I didn't deserve anything that God offered to me. And he said, well, Glenn, can I show you something from the Scriptures? And I said, yes, Corporal. And he took out his Bible, and he opened it to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And he spun his Bible around to me. He's sitting down. I'm standing up looking down at him. And he said, would you like to read it? And Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And I'll tell you, when I saw that, the Spirit of God began to illuminate my heart. I started to realize, wait a minute. You mean I'm just like everybody else and everybody else is just like me? Because before that time, I thought Christians were these perfect people. That they arrived and they met and satisfied who God wanted. And I thought those are the only ones that are getting to heaven, true Christians. And I thought that's the only people. So I thought they were perfect, while I was this sinner, this rotten person that could never make it. And he showed me that scripture, and then the Spirit of God began to illumine my heart. And already the joy was starting to bubble up in my heart. Then he took me to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, each verse, every verse he's showing me is just, it's just fuel to the fire. And in my heart, I'm starting to rejoice. Wait a minute. There's hope for me. The rest of this world is just like me. And then he took me to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And he stopped there and he said, Glenn, for your service in the United States Marine Corps, you're going to receive your wages. They're going to pay you for the labor and the work that you do and your service to our to the United States Marine Corps. And he said, God is also going to render you your rewards. He's going to pay you for your wages upon for your life upon this earth. And he said, that's death. And I knew I didn't want to die. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I already knew that. But he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He had a pen in his pocket. And I'll never forget, he pulled the pen out and he said, Glenn, if I were to offer you this pen, what would you have to do? And I looked at him and said, take it. He said, that's exactly right. God put his son upon the cross. He gave him for you. All you have to do is take it. Take it by faith. And from that time on, already, brethren, I knew I wanted to be saved. I knew I wanted to know the Lord. I wanted this. And he continued on through Romans Road with me. And I remember him asking me, after he had gone through that great passage, he said, well, do you want to pray and ask God to save you? Well, I'm still a Marine. I was a little proud. And he's a corporal, and I'm sort of trying to be tough. And I'm not trying to give anything away of what's going on in my heart and mind. And I said, no, thanks, Corporal. I want to take some time to think about this. And he said, okay. And as he's letting me leave, I'm about to step out the door, and he says, hey, Glenn, just remember, please take care of it. He said, God doesn't promise you another moment. He doesn't promise you another day or another tomorrow. Please take care of it. And I said, thanks, Corporal. I'll take my chances. And I stepped out that door. And he probably thought, oh, great, this guy's just going to, nothing's going to happen here. But I stepped out that door and it never left me. That whole day, I thought upon what he had said. I thought upon those scriptures. And that night, I went to my barracks room and I laid there in my rack in that darkness. I had two other Marines. They had just started taking us out of squad bays and putting us into our own rooms, three to a room type thing. So it was a unique thing. But in that darkness, they never knew the heavenly transaction taking place that night. I looked up into that darkness and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And I'll tell you, brethren, from that time on, as the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have never been the same man again because of the grace of God. And before that, brethren, I was a Marine just trying to get by. My uncle said, lay low. I was doing my best to lay low. I wasn't volunteering for anything. I wasn't doing anything out of the norm. I was just going to try to get by. As a matter of fact, I laid so low in boot camp and I cleaned the duty hut every day with the drill instructors. I was called up every morning. And at the end of my time in boot camp, he's fixing my tie and slapping aftershave on my face. And he says, Glenn, what did you do? And I said, I was your house mouse, sir. I literally cleaned his barracks room every day. That's how low I laid. And he still didn't really know much about me. So I was laying pretty low. And I wasn't going to do anything to shake the boat. But when God saved me, I realized now I belong to Him. And the Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Then I realized now I belong to the Lord. Now I'm a Christian Marine. Now I need to serve my God. And I began to serve the Lord and give Him the glory. I volunteered for everything they wanted. If you needed something, I was there for it because I wanted to serve my Lord. And I begin to give Him the glory for it. And I could stay up here all night, brethren, and tell you how, as I gave glory to God, how He would put it back down. And how these mighty men of valor, these other Marines, because I'm not the guy that you would look at and say, I'm going to join the Marines. You see how cool that guy looks? That wasn't me, brethren. They wouldn't put my face on the poster, okay? I was such a scrawny little guy, and they put those special glasses on you. As a matter of fact, I was in the front of my squad in a huge parade one time. And they said, dress right, dress. We're out in front of, this is a huge parade, thousands of Marines. And the general's coming in to take over the base. And they said, dress right, dress. And I snapped my head. Well, my helmet was always so big on my head that my helmet stayed in one place. And these are the guys defending your country, okay? But nevertheless, my lieutenant looked around. And he looked at it and he's like, oh, Glenn. He muttered under his breath. And he snapped real nice. He walked up to me. He's posted in front of me, grabbed my helmet, flicked it back to the right with me, and posted again, made it look real professional. But you know what? he was one of those cool Marines. If you saw his face, you would want to join, but not me. But you know what? Because I gave glory to God, you know that passage that says he'll use those foolish things to confound the wise. He'll use the weak to confound the strong. They couldn't understand how these Christian Marines, after 25 miles of marching or more, could run up next to these big monster Marines and take their backpack off their back just so that they could make it through the hike or take the extra weapons. They always wondered, and they'd come and catch us at night, just like Nicodemus did with Jesus Christ, caught him by night when nobody else was watching because they're so proud and they don't want anybody else to know, and bring us in their room. These mighty men of valor, great men, men that you would look at and say, that's a tough guy. And then they would look at us and say, I know what you're telling me is true. I want to believe in the Lord. I'm just not ready. And that's heartbreaking. But they saw God working. And brethren, God did that. He did mighty things. And I long to see that so much more now in our United States military. The United States government is pushing Jesus Christ out of our United States military and trying to reteach them ethics because they go into combat zones and they don't know how to act or respond and they become violent and in a rage. You know what? I would much rather fall into the hands of an enemy that has mercy than an enemy that has no mercy. And Jesus Christ teaches His men that. He teaches His troops that. And I'll tell you what, it'd be the greatest thing to fall into the hands of a Christian who loves the Lord and who, after He has captured you, exercises the mercy of the God He serves. That's what we need in our United States military again. And they're pushing Him out and don't realize what they're doing to their units. At one point in time, our unit had half of our unit of about 40 guys was professing Christians because the gospel was just spreading like wildfire. You know what? I long to see that again in our United States military ranks. God does amazing things when His people give Him the glory. So, brethren, I say all that to say this. That man that came to me, he wasn't ashamed of all these other people watching him. He wasn't ashamed of all the other Marines that might have looked at him and said, Bible thumper, they called him Moses, they called him deacon. They always asked him, where's all your disciples? They tried to persecute him all the time. You know what? He didn't care. He continued to share the Word of God. And you know what? I look back on what that man did for me, and I think about that Marine that was over there in Afghanistan and how he jumped in front of those in danger. He gave his life to bring those people home. Some of those Afghanis are going to go home to their families or have gone home to their families. And they're going to look at their wives. They're going to look at their children. And they're going to say, I'm here today because that American military man saved my life. That's why I'm here. And I think about me spiritually. And some of you think you should be able to think about this too. That man was awarded the Medal of Honor. And I think about this corporal, John Sass, that came. He basically jumped. He jumped in a deadly valley, a deadly spiritual valley for me. And he's a Medal of Honor Christian in my eyes because I would not be here today doing the things that I'm doing. I would not have the Christian family that I have now if it were not for that man who came to me in the United States Marine Corps and shared the gospel with me, changed my life forever. Brethren, we still need Medal of Honor Christians. I hope that doesn't sound crazy to you. We still need Medal of Honor Christians today. When I get to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is supreme in my eyes. But I guarantee you, that man that led me to Christ, I owe him so much. And I'm so thankful for him. And you know I'll be looking forward to seeing him in glory. And I guarantee you, you stand before God in that day, those people that you have witnessed to, have labored for, and have shared the gospel of Christ with, I guarantee you that they'll look at you and you're a hero in their eyes. We all know it goes back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do what we do because of what He has done for us. We love Him because He first loved us. We still need that today, brethren. Medal of Honor Christians. There's people in your community, in your homes, that are watching your life, how you're living, what you're saying. And you may be the very difference between spiritual life and spiritual death for them. So please, brethren, serve God. We got one life to live. We got one opportunity, one chance to make the most of this. So go out there and be a Medal of Honor Christian for your family, for your workplace, for your community. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this wonderful time here at this church, Open Door Baptist Church, and thank You so much for the privilege of being here. I do pray now that You would strengthen us, Lord, for there are so many that do not know You right now. And Lord, You see our world. You see our United States of America and how we're becoming so much like Europe, a post-Christian nation, pushing you completely out of every aspect of our lives. So please help us, Lord. Help us as your children to keep pushing forward for you, to keep fighting on. We ask for your grace and strength in this, and we pray you would overcome the wicked one and use us for your glory. We love you. Pray you'll bless the rest of our night as we leave here and move on. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
I hope God spoke to your heart. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. What a great text. And to illustrate that over and over to us, I appreciate that. I want you to catch something. When he came in my office this afternoon, it was, yes, sir. Very polite, very... how would I say this? Subservient, ready to do whatever need be done. It was just there. One of the things, and he may not know this, but one of the things that God will do and is doing with men who are working with our military is raising up pastors, especially. And here's why. Because those men who get saved in the military, they already have learned loyalty. Most folks, many people do not understand loyalty. Loyalty to the church, loyalty to each other. They don't understand that and don't practice it. They've also understood the chain of command. They understand authority that's over them. And our military churches especially, that pastor is looked at as the general, and they understand that and they follow his directions. Again, most people don't have that understanding, and you'll never become that which you don't respect now. But they've learned that kind of respect there, and that's a tremendous thing. And so God's using guys like you, especially with them. Half of the men that I went to Bible college with, let me rephrase that, more than half, probably nearly two-thirds, were men who got saved in the military. Most of them overseas when it took place. And God worked marvelously with that. Brother, you know Brother Silcox. In the 70s and 80s, he was pastoring in Fargo, North Carolina. And he told me, he said, I never saw anything like it. But he said, during just a matter of 2 years' time, he said, God allowed us to reach, I think it was between 30 and 40 men with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who then not only got saved, but having that kind of character went in, or God called them, and they are now pastoring churches. I used to go to a conference down in St. Louis with Brother Wells. Most of the men at that conference were those guys. And so I want to give you a vision of what can take place through these kinds of fellas, and that kind of heart for these guys, and what can take place. It's more than just reaching them. It's building men, or reaching men who've got some character already, who can then take that blessed gospel to others, and not scared to do so. Okay. And so we praise God for that. May God bless you. I love your heart. And just pray for him. I don't think you can forget his name too easy, right? So, amen. Remember the astronaut. You had it right there. Amen. Hey, if God spoke to your heart tonight in some way, shape, or form, why don't you come to the piano? I just want to give an opportunity. Maybe here you don't know the Lord. Maybe there's some question. Maybe there's something in your heart. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you something. I don't know. But let's stand to our feet. And you play. Let God.